ready? Everybody ready? It's hard to get took serious in this thing, isn't it? I'd like to welcome everyone out to New Harmony Baptist Church. Looking for a great time in worship. I feel a little taller this morning. And looking forward to tonight. Looking forward to Bible school. It's always an exciting time, and I'm getting videoed right here, so we're going to have a really good time. But y'all invite everyone you see, which I hope you've already been inviting, but invite those children. Some of the only times a lot of them will ever hear about Jesus. So I know we do a lot of crazy things and have a lot of fun, but obviously the Bible school is worth everything we put into it. There's a lot of people sitting here today that come to know the Lord through Bible school. So I thank God for it, and I ask you to get ready and be much in prayer. And I know it's a week that's it'll be long, and we want to rest when we get home, but I encourage you to come on out and put the effort into it, and God will reward you, I promise you. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get started? Take us off for just a minute. Ask you to remember Terry and his family. He's got a sister that's in bad shape in Birmingham Hospital. They're going to see her this morning. She's really, really low. So remember him and his family. Gosh, we just got so many. I can't even remember them all. I continue to remember Maudie, remember my mother. Charlie's a lot better. Remember Miss Louise, as she's continuing to improve. Miss Ivadale got some bad news. So y'all just be much in prayer for her and her family. And she really needs your prayers right now. So I ask you to lift her up to the Lord when you pray. I'm probably forgetting some. I don't mean to. There's just so many prayer requests this morning in Sunday school. I can't remember them all. But the Lord knows the needs. I ask you just pray for our church, pray for one another, and excited to see what the Lord's going to do this week. Do we have any more prayer requests?
My friend Stacy, her mom.
Yes, remember her. Any others? Ask you to remember those. I know we still got some traveling from different places and around. Just ask you to remember them as they travel, vacations and different things. And thank God for keeping them, the one safe who has been traveling, and bringing them back to us. And we just thank him for that. No more prayer requests. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll turn over to our singers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for your many blessings. And God, just the ability to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. Lord, we ask that you visit with us this morning. God, we ask your spirit will be in our midst. Father, something that's said and done through your word may draw someone to you that doesn't know you. God, as we go into this Bible school week, I pray for all of our teachers. I pray for the children that's coming. God, I pray that you open their hearts, that they may receive it, what it is that you have for them, which is your son, Jesus. God, we ask you to be with our church as we go forward, and that you would give us all the desire, Father, to serve you better, God, to be the church that you would have us to be. Lord, all the sick that's been made mention this morning, I pray, Lord, that you heal each one. If it be not your will, I pray that you comfort families, and that, God, that you just give them a peace that pass all understanding. We pray this morning for Terry's sister, and God, that your will be done in her life, and God, that you take care of Terry and them as they travel back and forth. Lord, all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
This morning. So, I got a couple more back there. All right, good deal. All right, so you guys, please stand and join us.
Go! around us this morning.
All in all, standing on the promises of God.
promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Jesus, would I know more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me, more, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more. Let me learn more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More. On His throne, riches in glory all His own, more of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace, more, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more.
Blessed be Your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be Your name. Every blessing You pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your glorious name. Blessed be Your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name on the road marked with suffering, oh, there's pain in the offering. Blessed be Your name. Every blessing You pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your glorious name. You give and take. every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to stay. For blessed be your name.
Morning again. It's good to have everyone with you this morning. For any of our visitors, we're so glad to have you. I ask you to come back and be with us. Won't be a visitor next time. You'll be family. And are looking forward to the message that God has laid on our heart. I was one I had prepared for last week, and it's funny how God always works things out. Last week I didn't. I thought I knew what it was to preach, and all during the song service, He began changing my heart and changing my mind, and truly. Understand why this week is everywhere I have looked, I've saw the title to this message and what this message is about. And all my devotions and everything I've looked at, I have saw it everywhere this week. It's the title is Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. And it's something that as we come into Bible school week, and again, God's timing is perfect. I should know that by now, but we got an opportunity to serve the Lord this week. And I know from experience as a preacher, when it comes to revival weeks and different things, you tend to get a little of this, oh me, I've got to do this. But listen, we get to have Bible school this week. We get to come here. We get to come every night if we desire. And we get to worship the Lord every single night. This ought to be the easiest week of our lives for a lot of us, because it's easy to stay close to God when we are around God's people. And I challenge you this week to honestly serve the Lord. And one message before we get started, Miss June's in the hospital this morning. The girls told me she was going to have a procedure done here in a little while. She's got kidney stones. So y'all remember her, June Barker, and pray that the Lord heals her body. I've never had those, but I've heard from people who's a lot tougher than me, and they say they're terrible. So I ask you to remember her this morning, remember the doctors. And also one more thing, because I'm very forgetful if I don't do it when I want to. We've got this morning an invitation to the blessing of Peggy not killing Charlie in 50 years. They desire you to be with them. I'll try to announce it again in a little while. June 29th at the Heflin Armory from 3 to 5. Come and celebrate Peggy not killing Charlie for all this time. It could be backwards too. I don't know, but we'll see. But if you got your Bibles this morning, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 10 through 22. As I stand here, I tell them the guys back there, I feel like an Arizona youth pastor. I got this tight shirt on and cactuses all over it. I feel different this morning, but thanks be to God, it don't matter what we got on, it's what's in our hearts. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 10 through 22. I ask you to stand this morning, if you would, the reverence of God's word. And I want you to listen as I read this, of how it sounds exactly like in our churches today. It sounds like I saw myself in this scripture, and I hope you'll see yourself. But if you'll remember, Moses had gotten the Ten Commandments. He had gotten the commandments from God, and as we know, he come down the hill, and there was Israel, and they had taken him up a calf and had begun to worship false gods. And Moses began, I kind of feel his pain sometimes. Lord, what in the world is this people doing? And Moses, he said, he threw the tablets down and they break. But in God's mercy and grace, he desires to give them another opportunity. Through Moses' prayer, he gives Moses a second set of these tablets. So this is where we pick up this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 10. Says, and I stayed in the mount according to the first time 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, the Lord would not destroy thee. The Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land, which I swear unto the fathers to give unto them. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's. Thy God, the earth also, with all therein is. All the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskins of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is a God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Love you therefore the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God. He hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. God, we thank you for second chances as you give Moses, and God, all the chances you've given us. Lord, I pray today that we see what's required of us as your people, that God, you provided a land you desire us to dwell in, that's a place that we couldn't even imagine if we would follow you. But God, many times we turn and we wander. But God, we thank you for mercy and grace. And Lord, I pray this morning that we'll truly see what it is we are to do, and that's to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you notice in that story, there was a direct command. It wasn't something that God told Moses to tell the people. If they want to do this, this would be good for them. Or if they desire to do this, maybe they could make their mind up to do this. Or one day when you got an opportunity, maybe they could start to serve me. Or maybe if they think it's good for them at that point of life, they can start to serve. God told them plainly right here what they was to do, and it was to serve. It was a command to serve in 10:12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, it plainly tells them what was to be done. He didn't say any ifs, ands, and buts. He made this thing very clear. And I wonder today why some of us think, or myself even, that I can just choose when I want to serve the Lord. I can just choose. Maybe I'll do it at this point in my life, or maybe I'll do it when I have time, or any of this thing. It's clear today that if you belong to God, then you've got a direct command to serve God. And I want you to see this thing is still in effect today. And why should we serve him? Why should you serve God? What's in it for you? That's what we all want to know. What's in it for us to serve God? Number one, it's because he requires us of it. And may I remind you of the one you serve in this morning? He is a God of gods, the scripture says. He is the Lord of lords. Everything that he made is his. And listen, he could have made a bunch of robots to go out and serve him. He could have made a separate people, as he told Moses he could do here. He could make anything he wanted to, because everything is his. But this God chose you to serve him this morning. You are a chosen people. You have been engrafted into these children of Israel this morning. If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are his, and you've given the same command as Israel was to serve. Now let me give you a meaning of this word serve. It means to work, to till, to dress, to keep, or labor. Or to labor, it means to be about the business of God is what it's about. Everybody's not to be preaching this morning. Everybody's not to be teaching. But my friend, I promise you that you have something to do for God. Yours may be a prayer warrior. Yours may be visiting out in the community and letting people know that God loves them. But listen, he did not save you. He did not choose you to sit on a pew and do absolutely nothing. Never is that found in the Word. Every single place you'll find where God is using people, they're going about and they're tilling and they're working. And listen, Adam wasn't even created to sit there and do anything. Adam was to till the ground in the garden. That's what he was to do. No, there wasn't thorns and thistles yet, because sin hadn't entered in. But God never intended people to sit still. Because when we sit still, guess what happens? Our mind begins wandering. Our mind begins going all these places. And we wind up putting other gods before him. That's what happens every time that a people becomes dormant. People become still on God. They begin chasing after other gods. You remember the story where Moses went up to the mount? He's with God 40 days. He came down. The children of Israel had taken all their earrings and all their jewelry and had melted it down and made a golden calf. And they was worshiping this golden calf. They thought Moses, their leader, was gone. And all the time he's with God getting a message for them, and how they left God that soon. And listen, it wasn't just some old straggler who led them in this way. Aaron, which was Moses' brother, the priest, led them. He let them do this thing. He led them in that manner. And listen, as I was studying this, I saw a direct message to myself. first. If you'll notice, he tells him, he begins telling Moses, he says, you take this journey first. You go before this people into this land of Canaan. You start this thing off, and listen, the people will begin to follow. He said, you head them in the right direction, and they'll begin taking off. That's my prayer, church, for us today, as we begin truly serving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul. Listen, God desires you to be in a spiritual Canaan. A spiritual Canaan is a place spiritually where you tend to trust God, you tend to rely upon God, and God meets all of your needs, all your stress, a lot of, not all your stresses can be gone this life. Understand that, but a lot of your stresses will be gone. A lot of our illnesses would be gone if we could truly just learn to rely on God. That's what faith is anyway, is fully trusting in God. And He desires you to be in that land, but for sadly to say, even for myself, some of us have wandered maybe longer than 40 years in this land we think is good. We think it's something. And listen, God took care of the children of Israel in this wandering land. Many of them had the same shoes they started out with. God blessed them with manna from heaven. He blessed them with water from rocks. He done everything they needed. He met their needs even when they was wandering away from Him. And He does the same for you this morning. This God is faithful. This God can be relied upon. And I challenge you to trust Him this morning. I challenge you to trust Him. This command is reasonable. I want you to see that. In Romans 12, verse 1, this is a very reasonable command. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hey, all that God asks is yourself. He don't ask you to pay a bunch of money. He don't ask you to pay a bunch of this or a bunch of that or do a bunch of this or ride a 10-speed bicycle from here to California or any of those things. All God desires is your sacrifice of yourself, your time, your efforts, and everything. Listen, God chose to use you to reach other people for Him. And that is your reasonable service. It's not too much to be asked upon. If you ask reasonable, the meaning of it, it's common sense would tell you. It's not asking too much is what reasonable means. God don't ask too much of you. You say, well, preacher, you don't know. I don't have any time left. My friend, you don't know how much time you have left. God is in control of that. You say, well, I work 12 hours a day. Listen, sometime during that time, you do something else. You have some downtime. If not, you really are a busy person. You need to do something about that. But I bet most of us have some time that we could spend serving God. We could spend our efforts. We could spend our talents serving God. Listen, one of the hardest things to do in churches and communities and anywhere you want to go today, even in the workforce, is to get people to put their heart and soul into something. And I'll tell you this morning, if you're going to serve God and you're going to do it half-heartedly, I beg you not to even start. Don't even start on this thing, because you're going to hinder yourself, you're going to hinder the kingdom of God, and you're going to hinder everything. But when you serve God, you worship Him with all your heart, and you serve Him with all your soul and all your strength, and everything you do, you serve Him. If you're going to do it half-heartedly, you might as well stay at the house. You might as well stay at the house. It's not too much to ask. As Christians, we ought to be servants. Tom Rainer wrote a book. I'm a church member. And in that book, y'all have been through it here. And I went through it at Rock Springs, I think it was. And in that book, as you read it, it says we have gained something in the church. We have left a servant's mentality, and we went to a country club mentality. And what do we mean by that? It means that we have chosen to want to be served rather than to be the servant. We are looking for a church where we got all these things to do. And listen, I'm not against that. Y'all know that. We're looking for this church that can meet all my needs, and I think that's a good thing also. And we're looking for this that meets my family's needs, that meets this, and allow me this. And man, if I only had this at my church, I would be better. And we can go through a whole list of these things. But listen, a church is not to be a country club. It's not to a place where people serve me. When we're a member of a church, if you go to the first church, you know what these people did? They was outside in the community. They was meeting needs, and they was making sure that God's word was being presented. They were serving. They were serving. What happens when you go to a restaurant? You have a server. What does that server do? They bring you what you need. You need silverware, they'll bring it. You need another drink, they'll bring you a drink. What do? They bring you stuff. They're there for you in church. That's what we are to be to our community and to the lost. We are to be a servant. And listen, it don't matter how up in this thing go. Our Christian belief, the higher you go, the lower you become. That's what it's about. Jesus said He was the low of the low. He was a servant. Listen, He didn't even have a home to live in when He was on this earth. He said, the birds have nests, but I don't even have a place to lay my head. He was truly a servant. The Spirit of God leads us to be servants. So we got a command to serve. Listen, secondly, we've been chosen to serve. I've got on this a little bit, but I want to get a little further. Chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 of Deuteronomy. Behold, the heaven and the heavens is the Lord's, our God, and the earth also with all there is. Only the Lord hath delighted in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed above them, even you above all people, it is this day. He's chosen you. You say, wait a minute now. I chose him. I remember Bible school way back yonder. I decided to follow Christ. My friend, if you follow the Word of God, it teaches you you cannot come to God, that God has to come to you. His Spirit begins dealing with your heart. It begins making a stony heart. It begins making a heart of flesh so you can truly come to God. And without that, it cannot happen. You don't chase God. God chases you. You don't find Him. He finds you, and He has chosen you. Listen, I'm not preaching predestination here because that's not what it means. Did God know who would be saved with the foundation of the world? Yes, He did. Why? Because He's an all-knowing God. But listen, He also teaches whosoever will. I believe on my name shall be saved. I believe he gives every person an opportunity to come to know him. There's some who don't believe that, but that's what I believe this morning. I believe we have an opportunity to come because the Bible tells me that God's not a respecter of persons. He don't care who you are, where you're from. He gives every single person that opportunity. But yes, he knows exactly who would be saved, and he knew what to do. And listen, he offers it. His Spirit dwells in us, and it pulls us toward himself. And listen, he has chosen you this morning. He chose Israel. Why did he choose them? We don't know why. We don't know why he chose Israel. Israel has always been his people, and they always will be his people. Even today as I speak, there are nations who would love to see Israel wiped off the map. But a little nation the size of Rhode Island is one of the richest places on earth. It is the Silicon Valley of the Middle East. It's got all the technology. There's oil there that you can't even imagine. For a long time, they didn't think there was any oil there, but now they have found that there's much oil up under Israel. Everything in Israel, it says when they grow grapes, they grow so big, you can't even believe them over here. Anything they grow is huge. God has blessed that land, and that's his chosen people. And my friend, the Bible teaches you have been grafted in to these people. You have been chosen. And being chosen of this, there comes special commandments to you also. You're to love the Lord your God and to serve him only. He chose us. Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15. Listen to this. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood or the gods of Amorites in whose land you dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, not only have you been chosen, you get an opportunity to choose. But listen, Joshua tells us an absolute command right here. He tells us through God, by God, he tells exactly what to do, and that we need to make a choice. Church, for too long, people have been trying to straddle a fence. We've been trying to stay on this side and that side, and then according to this word out here, it says that you need to choose today who you will serve. If you don't think it's good to serve God, then serve what you will. Serve those other gods if that's what you want to do. But one thing he says don't do, don't be a double-minded man. Don't say you serve God when you're serving these other gods. Don't say that Jesus is your Lord if he's truly not your Lord. But God says today, if he is your God, then serve him. Serve him with all your heart. Serve him with everything inside of you. But one thing's for sure, you need to decide today because time is running out. You need to decide. What it says, choose you this day who you will serve. Choose who you will serve. Make a choice and go with it. Listen, it better be Jesus Christ if your hope is going to be heaven. It better be him. But listen, if you have got to do, one thing you've got to do, you've got to make a choice. You say, well, preacher, I ain't making a choice today. Oh, yes, you are. Before you leave this building, you will make a choice if you follow Jesus, or if you make a choice if you'll follow the gods of this world. You know, one way or another, you make a choice. You don't get to split this thing. It's either one or the other. He says, make a choice. Decide what you will do. That choice will be made. And it will be made today. So what we do something as people. And I'm the worst. I told y'all that 2 weeks ago. I'm the master of putting something off. I'm the master of deciding when I'll do something, and it's usually the last minute. I do this all the time. Boy, it gets me in a mess. But we as people, we hear a message such as this one right here. And you know what we'll do? We'll do one of two things. We'll respond to it. We'll choose that we're going to serve God. And when we leave this place, we'll find us a direction to serve God. We'll decide what it is God wants us to do, and we'll go about that thing. Or if not, we'll do another thing. We'll have a good intention. Boy, that's me this morning. I'll have good intentions. And I'll leave this place, and you know what happens? All the things begin coming upon me tomorrow. All the business of Bible school will come upon us. And before long, I'll forget that I made a choice, or I was going to decide if I would follow God or not, or what my choice is going to be, or where I should serve. But listen, I believe with all my heart that you know exactly today where it is that God has you to serve. And He desires you to make a choice. If you go home, or if you go tomorrow, and you'll say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll decide next week or next church year when it starts in October. I'll decide where to serve, or I'll do this. What will happen is this thing will get off your mind, it'll get off of your heart, and you'll sit there in the land of do nothing and wonder for 40 years. It's what happens when you don't choose. When you don't choose, you've been chosen to serve. Number three, the condition you must be in to serve. There's a condition you must be in. In verse 16 of this same chapter, he said, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Now listen, this was new news to these Jews. These Jews believed in physical circumcision. Y'all know what that means. I ain't got to get into all that. They believed in that, but listen, it was a symbol that they was to do as Jewish people. On the eighth day after they was born, they was to be circumcised, and that showed that they belonged to this family. And Moses told them something new right here by the word of God. He says, hey, all that circumcision that your family done, that your fathers did, that's great, and as opposed to it at the time, but you need to circumcise your heart. You need to cut the heart stuff out from your heart and have a heart transplant this morning. In other words, what he was saying is that you cannot do this thing. It's up to God Almighty to change your heart. And this is an operation that God has to do. He said, and you come to this thing, and he's trying to get them to understand that through the faith and the trust in God will this be done. Don't more be stiff-necked. Listen to God and trust God and go His way. You see, this symbol we still have today. We don't do it for this reason in our country, but it's still there. A lot of our male children has done this, although it's more for health reasons this time. But listen, as Jewish people, it was done as a symbol. And see, what they got to thinking was, I'm okay with God because I have this circumcision. I was circumcised on the eighth day, so surely I belong to God. And what happens in Baptist churches is we come in, and somebody will tell us, if you want to be saved today, raise your hand, and we'll do that thing, and we'll go through life, and we'll think I was dunked in the water in 1950, or I would come up forward to join the church in 1975, or I done this and that, and there was never a change in that life. My friend, I want to tell you this morning, you need to do some checking up, because God plainly told them that there'll be people that cry, Lord, Lord, that will never enter in. What I'm telling you this morning is a symbol. Doesn't mean anything. They must be a changed heart. They must be a circumcision. That old flesh must be gone, and you must become a new creature through the salvation of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that you can serve God. You see, the problem I think this morning is we have so many with symbols walking around. So many symbols. I'm not one to Jew. I can't stand for somebody to make you try to doubt your salvation. I'm not doing that this morning, but I do want to be sure. Listen, there's some problem in why people today will not serve God. Has God changed? Absolutely not. He says, I am God. I don't change. His spirit hadn't changed. His spirit still draws us. So what in the world has happened? Why is it so hard today to get people to serve? I believe it's because that people is not in the condition to serve. What do I mean by that? I mean they've never had their heart circumcised. They've never been saved. They've never been changed by the Spirit of God. That's why it's so hard to try to get them to serve. There was condition. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Listen to what this says. Buried with Him in baptism, whereas you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. There's got to be a heart transplant. There's got to be a heart surgery. And it's through an operation that man cannot do. There's not a heart surgeon in Birmingham that can create this surgery. There's not a single one. This operation hasn't been done by God. It's not done by mom and daddy saying you need to be saved. It's not done by the Bible school teacher saying you need to be saved, although I want you to do that this week because you don't know who the Spirit's dealing with. But listen, it's not of anybody saying this. It's not of any man telling you need to be. This thing is done through the operation of God. It's done when the Spirit of God tells you it's time, and He's pulling you towards Himself, and He's striving with you to come to know Him and to receive Him. And listen, you have a choice to make. And when you do, the miraculous operation takes place. We can't even see when it takes place. The moment of a twinkling of an eye. I believe the moment that our brain tells our legs to head towards Him, or that if we're sitting still and we don't want to go forward, I believe it's the moment that our brain decides, I'm trusting Jesus. That moment that thing puts in place, I believe we're saved. What am I saying? I believe if you was to come down here, a lot of people say, oh, I was going to save, I couldn't get out of that aisle this morning. I believe that first step, you're saved. I've heard people say, what would happen if somebody was coming down to an old-fashioned altar to be saved, and they stepped out and all of a sudden they had a heart attack, never made it to the altar? Would they be saved? Absolutely. It was that faith. It's not even the prayer, you believe that. It's not even the prayer that saves you. It's not even the words that you say, because listen, this is something that Satan has dealt with me on, has tried to trip me up through all my Christian life, is that day in Concord, you didn't say the right things. That day on that bench, you didn't ask for all these forgivenesses that you know you should have. You didn't do this. You remember that. You didn't confess that. You didn't do this. And my friend, even the prayer does not save you. What saves you is faith in Jesus Christ. That faith, through the operation of God, He miraculously changes your heart and puts you in a condition where you can serve. Must have had a heart surgery. Miss Louise, and maybe some of y'all in here, has had physical surgeries. She can tell you she's doing great, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, but listen, this thing is done by God miraculously. Have a changed life. Y'all have seen people that this has happened to. Y'all seen people who was one way, we ain't got to get on certain sins, that way God changed them, and there's a turn in their life. There's a complete 180 in their life, and they was going a different direction. Folks, that's done by God. That's truly done by God. Listen, you got a command to serve, you're chosen to serve, a condition to serve. Lastly, you've got a community to serve. What does that mean? Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 18, 19. Listen to this closely. He doth execute judgment of the fatherless. That means He has pity upon them. And your version may say that. Mine says execute judgment. That means He has pity upon them. He says He execute judgment of the fatherless and the widow, loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Boy, I don't know about you, this sounds a lot like the community to me. Listen, the fatherless. The father says, we're living in a time, y'all, when a high number of children doesn't have a father in their life. There'll be children here in a few hours, in 4 or 5 hours to speak of, who doesn't have a father in their life. What does it say? It says serve them. It says be there for them. It says touch them. And listen, widows that don't have husbands, church, what are we to do? We're to be there with them. This is one of the things that's gotten lost through time. And I think it's this. I think it's through the busyness of our lives. I don't think anybody decided we're not going to take care of widows. We're not going to take care of them. By the way, do you know this is why deacons were set aside? Was it to help with the widows and the fatherless and all these things in the first church? That's why this thing was done. And I don't think people decided, I don't want to help widows, I don't want to help this. I think what has happened is we have gotten so busy that it's took our mind off of what we're supposed to be doing. And as a church, I'm not talking about New Harmony, I'm talking about a complete church, the whole body of Christ. We are falling down on our jobs because we have begun following the gods of this world. And I know it seems like you preach on this all the time, but it's the time of history we're in. Our gods, sadly to say, have become something with a bite out of an apple on the back of it. Some of y'all got droids. It's become a smartphone. You listen to this. You know how bad, and I know this sounds like an old-timey, and I don't care. Doctors now are saying that children are growing these horns out of the back of their neck. I thought, my gosh, these things are evil. What it is children are spending so much time with their head bent that the muscles are becoming weak in their neck, and the bones are trying to compensate for the weakness of the muscles because they're not doing anything. They're just sitting with their head bent looking at a phone screen. And what happens is his bones begin protruding, and they're calling it the horn, some kind of cell phone syndrome. But the horns begin protruding. Now, it's sad when we have a condition in our society that we're so addicted to these things. Listen, there probably wasn't even that much of addiction to false gods in that day. And I've got it, and we've all got it. You might as well be honest with yourself this morning. You have an addiction to a cell phone. We'll throw off on a man who has an alcohol addiction. We'll throw off on a man who has a drug addiction or a sex addiction or anything else. And every one of us sitting here are hypocrites because we're addicted to a little bitty electronic device that takes all of our time, even away from God. And you might as well say amen because you're guilty. Some of you's liars. I have it too. What do I do? The moment that I sit down, I don't grab my Bible, I grab my phone, see what everybody's doing on Facebook. We become addicted. It's become a god. We got a community to serve. We got a community that's waiting on us. Listen to what it says again. The fatherless, the widow, means those that's not there. It means take care of life. Houses, meaning, in that day, listen, there wasn't any food stamps. People wasn't taken care of by the government. If they were going to be taken care of, it was up to the church. It was up to one another to take care of them. And listen, this thing was done. It was done by God's people, and it was done God's way. Listen, we were to take care of those that don't have. I believe that even means that we're to take care of the unborn. I believe we got a responsibility as a church to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. And thank God we live in a state such as Alabama that desires to do that, and many other states are doing it too. Thank God for it. I think we're headed in the right direction. But it says one more group, the strangers. You know what strangers was? It says you were strangers, land of Egypt. You know what Egypt represents? Sin. You know what strangers are? It's lost people. You say, well, preacher, they ain't know. If we go to that community and we start giving them food, we'll just begin doing something that we just cannot stop because they're addicted over here. They're this group of people. They're not going to get out of this thing. Listen, it don't tell me to worry about that. It tells me to love those strangers. Why should I love sinners? Because I too was a sinner. I was lost in my ways. I was lost in my trespasses. I was down in Egypt. I was away from God. I was away from the place I belong. And somebody cared enough about me to love me. I remember my Bible school teachers from when I was a small child. I told you I wasn't in church, didn't get saved till I was 21, but my grandmother carried me to Bible school. I won't ever forget it. She had an old Ford Maverick. I'd hear that thing coming up the road, and she was so tight she wouldn't pull in there and get you. You had to get on the road. She wouldn't waste that much gas coming up the driveway. So we'd jump in that thing and we'd go. And I remember we'd go, if we didn't stay as long as she did, me and my brother would walk home. And there was an old house up there where it was rumored a man had killed somebody lived there. And me and my brother, that was the interstate, was there already. We'd walk across the interstate bridge, and when we got to that house, we'd save our energy and our breath because I was chubby. I couldn't run that far. So we'd save up, and when we got to his house, we'd run as fast as we could till we was past it. I got those memories. I remember those men who told me about Jesus. I remember that. They was reaching out to an old stranger, to a stranger. Listen, we are to love the lost. Church, we have lost a love for our people. We've lost a love for our communities. We've lost a love for lost folks. We've lost it. He's telling us today that we need to choose to serve. How is these people going to hear about Jesus? Through us. Last thing, I'm going to give you this. You are here today. You're here today at New Harmony Baptist Church because somebody cared enough about you to even invite you. Somebody cared enough about you to pray for you. Somebody cared enough about you to stand and preach. Somebody cared enough about you to stand and teach Sunday school or sit and teach Sunday school, whatever way it was done. Somebody cared enough about you to provide you transportation. Somewhere down the road, the reason you're saved this morning is somebody served God. Somebody used to sing a song. I can't remember who it was. You remember it says, thank you for giving unto the Lord, for I'm a life that was changed. Somebody this morning cared enough to serve God, and that's the reason you're here. Right now, you're thinking about that person. You're thinking, I know who it was that thought enough to tell me about Jesus. I know who it was that was serving. That man was preaching maybe even been at Bible school that was standing talking about the Lord. It may have been somewhere you remember somebody who was serving God. One thing's for certain. If you saved today, you heard the word of God taught, preached, or sang, or you read it. People care enough today to go give Bibles out. We was in California, y'all. Listen, California, that godless place we're led to believe. Open the door, what was there? A Bible. Because the Gideons care enough to serve. What about you this morning? You've been given a command to serve God, to put Him first. Put Him first in your life and you serve Him no matter what comes next. The problem we made, if we are serving, He becomes our last priority. We'll do this, this, and this. When I have time, I put this towards what God wants me to do. Church, if we could get those things reversed, we'd be amazed what would be done in our church, what would be done in our land. I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Will you serve? Will you serve? Between you and God, where you serve, how you serve, what you serve. But church, we've got to be serving. We've got to be serving. Myself, y'all wouldn't believe the good intentions I have that I never act upon. I know you're the same. I know the people in here. I know there's good people. I ask that our intentions go forward. We truly become servants of Christ. That's what we're called to do. Will you serve this morning? If everyone would, please stand. You know, if you're here this morning, that God has used somebody, allowing to work through them to bring you to Himself. You know that without that person serving, you may never have heard the gospel. I can remember hearing the men preach through the years. Bobby Garner, remember hearing him preach when I was a little child. He's real old. Jack Marks, I remember hearing him. Alton Stamey. Boy, Bob Adams. I remember hearing them all preach. Then I remember the Spirit of God began working on me, that some of the stuff they said began coming back. We think our service goes unnoticed. We think if we serve and nobody's saved, then our service has been in vain. Maybe I wasn't meant to do that. God says some plant, some watereth, but God gives increase. What's important today is you're serving somewhere in the kingdom of God. You're not saved to be on a bench. Will you serve Him today? You may be here this morning and you have never received Christ. That foreskin of that heart has never been done away with. It's never been there. That heart is as hard as it can be. I pray the Spirit of God softens it, that you can hear His call. And when you hear His call, that you'll receive it. Don't waste the opportunity. Choose today to receive Christ. If you have received Him, choose today to be on the battlefield for Him. Be working. Be going forward. Please don't sit still. As she plays, would you come?